Hey, welcome to the Intentional Living Center today. I'm Dr. Randy Carlson. We're talking parenting. We're going to focus on what does it mean to discipline your children. And if you have a question on disciplining your son or daughter, young or old, let's get it on the table and talk about it here today. Live from our Intentional Living Center, I'm Randy Carlson, talking parenting.
Welcome to Intentional Living with your host, Dr. Randy Carlson, a counselor and coach, best-selling author, and your advocate for the family. If you need to sort out the difference between discipline and punishment in raising your kids, call now. The number is 1-888-888-1717. That's 1-888-888-1717. Now from the Intentional Living Center in Tucson, Arizona, where we help you to be an intentional parent, here's Randy.
All right. Thank you, Kurt. Welcome to our center here today as we talk parenting. And we are going to touch on this thing about discipline and punishment. But in particular, for you, I know your goal is to raise a responsible adult. That's why our number one resource here next to God's Word, the Bible itself, is the resource on raising responsible adults, our book and study guide, and our small group video that we also have on this topic, because it's a big deal. Parents, single parents, couples, maybe young or old, raising kids, or grandparents, you know, you want to do a good job. And we're thinking about the difference between discipline and punishment as we get started here. And I think it's important to understand that discipline comes from the root of discipleship, which means to train. When you're disciplining, you discipline your body, right? When you exercise and you eat healthy, you discipline your finances by putting limits and restrictions and a budget together. Discipline is a healthy, good thing that makes life work. Punishment, on the other hand, is, as it was said on Facebook here, punishment seeks to judge behavior that occurred in the past, while discipline seeks to shape behavior that will occur in the future. Dawn said that on Facebook, and she's right. Punishment can be very emotional, where discipline is more logical, rational, it's thought through. Punishment is sort of a short-term response, where discipline is long-term. Punishment is reactionary, where discipline is teaching. Punishment is what we do when we're not prepared as a parent or grandparent. We just, we're not prepared, so we don't know what to do, so we think we need to punish our kids. Where discipline takes preparation. Discipline begins with disciplined people. Disciplined parents know how to discipline. And if you're not a disciplined person, you're more likely to fall into the camp of just, I need to punish my kids. So if you have a question today, maybe you have a specific issue you're wrestling with and you want to apply some biblical principles of discipline in your home that'll honor God and help you raise a responsible adult, you're welcome to give me a call here, 888-888-1717. By the way, I'm going to share with you some from the top 10 list of intentionals for parents, some of the most requested intentionals that we have on our website. I'll get through some of those today as well.
Hi, Dr. Randy. My name is Beth, and I decided on Monday of this week to be intentional with my children. I was starting a new job. We were running late. I was trying to get them to school, and in the middle of getting in the car, I spilled my coffee all over my lap, and I was not too happy about it, did not respond in a way that honored God. I'll just say that. And I thought about it on my way to work, and of course, I got that mom guilt of, oh, what a horrible example you just set. And so when I got home, I brought them all into my son's bedroom, sat them down on the bed, and I said, I was thinking about this morning and the way I handled my spilled coffee. I realized that it really wasn't that big of a deal if I'm wearing black, so it didn't even make a mark. And I just have to ask for your forgiveness, to let you know that next time that happens, I'm going to work on a better way to react. And I just had all these big eyes coming back at me. And my littlest son, who's 5, got up and ran over to me. And he said, Mommy, I will always forgive you for that. And I love you. And they just all said that they forgave me. And we talked about a better way to respond when you're frustrated. So I was intentional in asking for forgiveness on that day with my kids. Thanks, Dr. Randy, for all you do. Bye.
Thank you. You know, there's some parents listening. That's weak. You're thinking that's weakness. That's not weakness. That's strength. The weakness comes when we think we're always right and we're superior to and better than the little people around us. And I think Jesus gives us sort of a little glimpse into his heart when he said, "Don't forbid those little ones to come to me, for such is the kingdom of heaven." Here's the deal. We're no better than our children or grandchildren. We're just different age. We have different roles and responsibility. But, long after we're gone and God tarries, they'll be here. And so our job is to raise a responsible adult, raise children to come up and honor God. And we do that through understanding the principles of being a disciplined person ourselves. So let's get some questions on the table here. Dolores is on the line. Dolores, welcome to the program.
Hi. Thank you.
Appreciate it.
Thank
your question?
Well, actually, I want to know, my granddaughter is 15 years old, and she is very disrespectful towards her mother.
Uh-huh.
And I was just wondering how can my daughter, discipline, her daughter? She's just so disrespectful.
Now, is dad in the house, too?
No, he's not.
So a single mom, and she has this disrespectful 15-year-old, and she's angry. Is she angry at mom about dad and the family and that kind of thing?
Well, no. I mean, her dad was murdered years ago, but I don't know. I know she probably had some issues, but
I would think so.
That's not what the issue is now.
Well,
that's not what it is now.
But in her heart, she's 15, and she's been through a lot in her young life already. But listen, I'll tell you, as a parent, when you get a 15-year-old disrespectful teenager, this is a time as a parent you got to really buckle down and have a game plan, because what happens is if you don't, you're going to overreact and you're going to react and with threats of you're going to be grounded for life or different things that parents can do. They can lash out at their kids and fight fire with fire, or they can run and retreat and try to hide from their kids and hopefully it'll get better, and that doesn't work. The best approach for a 15-year-old who's being disrespectful is to hold them accountable with logical and natural consequences for that disrespect. Because here's the deal. That 15-year-old expects mom to drive her to wherever she needs to go, to give her permission to go to her friend's house and enjoy, the weekend night with her friend or whatever. And here's the deal. I think I would encourage your daughter to say to her daughter, "Listen, I love you. You're 15. We're having a rough stretch here. But you know what? I'm getting a little tired of the disrespect. If there's something I need to do to change, you tell me what it is. I'm happy to listen to you. But when you raise your voice and you get disrespectful and whatever, whatever she's doing, that just ain't going to happen. And you need to understand that when you're disrespectful, you're showing me that 10 minutes later when everything is okay and you want me to drive you to your friend's home, or you want me to give you some money, or you think it's going to be okay to start driver's ed so you can get a license next year. The reality is, if you can't show me respect, don't expect to get the kind of things in life that you want. And frankly, as you continue to treat me this way, those things aren't going to happen. It's up to you. I keep the ball in your court. And let her as a 15-year-old see that there's a consequence for disrespect. And she doesn't have to raise her voice when she talks to her daughter. She doesn't have to threaten her. She just simply says it the way it is. I mm-hmm. love you, and I'm happy to talk about whatever your problems are. But when you're disrespectful, that's not going to continue in this house.
Okay.
But she needs to have some accountability. I would stop the freedom. I would, I know today with kids have all their technology and all these things, but I'll tell you what, parents, it's your home. She's 15 years old, and if she can't be respectful with you with her words, I don't think some of those privileges that she's getting should continue.
Okay.
And that is a logical or a natural consequence of disrespect, Dolores.
Okay. All right.
Thank you very much. It's in the implementation that it gets a little tricky, because our emotions do come to the surface, don't they? All right. You got a question on parenting? 888-888-1717.
My name is Angela, and my one thing is to put God back in the center of my life.
My name is Aaron, and my one thing is to change my attitude, start speaking life into my family, be more encouraging, stop the criticism.
Pray together.
My name is James Edgar, and my one thing is to work really hard at listening without speaking first, actually trying to hear what it is that she's saying to me, and not have all the answers without hearing the question.
Hey, listen, isn't that cool? Those are real people coming out of Love Your Marriage Date Night talking about their one thing for 30 days. I'm absolutely excited. I'm excited about what's going to be happening here in just a few hours. Saturday night, we wrap up Love Your Marriage Date Night's in Tucson at Christ Community Church. And we've got friends coming from across the state, from the Valley, Phoenix, from southern Arizona and out state as well, coming for this weekend. It'll be Saturday night, date night, Christ Community Church. I'm very excited because I'm presenting something brand new as part of my presentation on Saturday. I'm calling it the Freedom Plan, how couples can experience freedom. And I think God intends for you to experience peace and freedom in your marriage, in your relationship, in your communication, in your intimacy. And there's a four-step plan that I believe and I've seen and watched over the years that really works. And it's going to be part of what I share with you on Saturday. It's going to be a lot of fun, very practical. Hope you'll come. Don't miss out on it. You know, come with some other couples. Tickets available today at theintentionallife.com. Okay, Elena is in New Mexico. Welcome to the program.
Thank you.
Appreciate it. What's your question today?
Well, I have an 11-year-old son who seems to either daydream or just procrastinate when he's supposed to be doing his work, and he does this at school. Mm-hmm. And then at home, you know, the teacher will send the work home, and he'll sit, you know, doing his homework for hours and do just a few problems. And
are you still there?
You know, angry with him. And
okay, so you get angry with him because then, he's not getting it done.
Yeah, because he's been sitting there for 2 hours, you know, on 10 problems, and just it's not because he doesn't understand it. He's I'm not sure. I think he's just daydreaming, and I've sat with him, and I finally get tired of, you know, just sitting there waiting for him, and he's just not doing his work.
Well, why do you feel upset, you need, why do you need to sit with him?
Just to kind of push him along.
Why?
Because he doesn't do it.
Then what happens?
Once we get upset, he'll finish it in 10 minutes.
Well, what would happen if you didn't, what would happen if you didn't get upset?
He just wouldn't do it.
And then what happens?
I guess he would get bad grades.
And then what happens?
I don't know. Then we'd get upset again.
Yeah, see, what I'm driving at here, Elena, is that you're the problem here.
Okay.
And I say that lovingly. You got to break the cycle, Elena, by getting out of this cycle. It's kind of a crazy cycle in parenting where he doesn't do it until you raise your voice, and then he'll do it. But then, you know what, you're all of a sudden 11 years old in what grade now? Fifth grade? Is he in fifth grade? What grade is he in?
Sixth grade.
Okay, so you're back in sixth grade with him yourself, and you're getting tired of it.
Yeah.
See, I, to be very honest, I think what you need to do, Elena, is say to your son, hey, I've been through sixth grade, and I think I did pretty well. And I know you can do it well, too. I know you're capable of this. I'm here to help. I mean, if you got a question, I'm here. But I'm in the other room reading or doing whatever I'm doing. And when you're done, come on out. Now, if he drags it out all night and doesn't get it done, then there should be a consequence. But that'll come with the grades. And all of a sudden, if he starts bringing home incomplete papers, you tell the teacher, you might give a heads up to the teacher, hey, if you're finding that he's not getting his stuff done, I'm trying to work with him here at home by getting off his case. And if he's not, let me know, and I'll hold him accountable here. Not to got to get your homework done, but hey, if you don't get your homework done, you can't go out with your friends. You don't play, you can't take your bike out, you can't be on your Game Boy or whatever thing you're playing, because the reality is the homework comes first. You get it done, the other stuff's available to you. But I think you can. I think you've got to extricate yourself from this thing.
I mean, we've taken everything away, and he'll just sit there.
Well, he engages. He knows how to engage you then, because you have to sit with him to get his homework done. Right?
Sometimes we do that, but not all the time. Like, we've stopped. We've decided that he's just going to sit in his room and do his work.
And what happens?
And he'll do one problem. It'll take him hours.
Uh-huh. Is he real discouraged kind of a kid? Does he feel stupid or doesn't fit in or something? Is he struggling with not feeling like he's doing a good enough job?
No. He finishes it once we get upset.
Huh.
He has no problems finishing it. But he's doing this at school, and he does this at home, and it's just really hard. Because
well, what's
we don't
important
want to
him?
Upset at him?
What's the one thing that's important to him in life?
Oh, geez, I'm not sure. I think he's just at that teenage years where I'm not sure what he's really into.
Yeah. Well, the reason I ask that is because if you can find what's important to a kid, his friendships, his technology, his, you know, whatever, those things can be used as an ally of saying, hey, we put first things first in this home. On the other hand, if he has no interest, you know, is he depressed? Does he have some other issues going on that you're not aware of? Those might be worthwhile things to really explore and consider, because it may be more of a symptom of some other things going on in his life. But I think as a principle for parents in general, Elena, is the less we get involved in micromanaging everything our kids do, the better they're going to be. And then learning to hold them accountable. In fact, the first thing that I have on my intentionals list is the statement, I will not do for my children what they can do for themselves. Because when I do, I disrespect them. And I wonder if there's just been a pattern of him thinking school's more important to you than it is to him. If we can help this young man find something that's really important to him, what is it that turns him on? What is the thing that gives him energy? What turns his crank? What is the thing that really excites him about life? And then encourage him along that line, because sometimes kids learn in different ways. But I do know the principle of just having to yell to get your kids get things done long term isn't going to work, because you're not going to be there when he's 30 years old and he needs someone to yell at him.
This is Intentional Living with your host, Dr. Randy Carlson. Intentional Living is furnished by Parent Talk Incorporated and is made possible entirely by the generous support of our listeners. This program is not a substitute for professional counseling, medical, financial, or legal advice. Intentional Living is not intended to be therapy by radio. Hey, our lines are still open for parents. Here's the number, 1-888-888-1717. Again, that's 1-888-888-1717. We are Intentional Living, and we'll be right back.
The biggest thing that I'm realizing is just how differently we communicate with each other.
Here's Dr. Randy Carlson to show you how to love your marriage.
The key to a happy marriage is communication. When you communicate about a shared goal, that brings passion and intimacy to your marriage.
Fall in love all over again with your spouse at the Love Your Marriage Night with Dr. Randy Carlson, presented by the Intentional Living Center. It's coming to Christ Community Church in Tucson this Saturday, the Love Your Marriage Night with Dr. Randy Carlson. Register at theintentionallife.com.
You're listening to Intentional Living with your host, Dr. Randy Carlson. You know, over the years, you've heard me talk about some of the great resources available from the Intentional Living Center, like Dr. Randy's Raising Responsible Adults. Well, for this month only, we've got a great new product for you at a significantly reduced price called the Faith Builder Pack. It includes My Daily Walk Devotion, the 101 Faith Book, Finding God's Will CD, From Believer to Behavior CD, and Is There Enough Evidence to Convict You CD. This is a limited time offer, and as I said, at greatly reduced prices. So go to our website at theintentionallife.com. That's theintentionallife.com. Click on Resources, then click on the Intentional Living Center store. Discover how growing your faith will have a profound influence on your parenting. Randy?
All right. Thank you, Kurt. That's a great idea, that resource. Those resources will be very practical for you. Again, go to theintentionallife.com. Our senior producer, Mr. Tanner, is here in the studio with a smile and an email.
That's right. Yeah. And, you know, we love getting your questions. We love having them on the air. We love seeing them on Facebook. And mm-hmm. you can even email us through the website at theintentionallife.com. Dr. Randy, Lisa has a question that I think fits well with what we're talking about today regarding discipline and dealing with kids. She says, how do you feel about forcing your teenagers to go to church?
I think it's a good idea. But it doesn't always work real well in families. You know what? Let me share this. Here's what I think about this, because I know this happens in a lot of homes. Kids get to be teenagers. They think everybody at church is weird and different, and you know they're not interested any longer. And you know, let me believe what I want to believe and do what I want to do. I think in our families, we have certain expectations that we need to have with our teens. Expectations, I think, are really important. We have an expectation that we're going to cooperate. We have an expectation that we're going to share with one another. We have an expectation that there's going to be responsibility in the home. You know, your kids have an expectation, mom, that you're going to, or dad, you're going to prepare the meals and They have an expectation that the bills will be paid and the homework is going to be done. We expect that with their kids and so on and so on. I think it's reasonable to expect our children to say, hey, for one thing that we do as a family is go to church together. I mean, come on. We're not asking you to change your whole life. We're saying, hey, every Sunday we go to church a couple of hours together as a family. I'm not asking you to be excited about it. I'm not asking you to even say that you agree with everything you hear. But this is something that's valuable to me and to our family, and I do expect that we're going to do it as a family. So when we talk about the word forcing, yeah, I think there's an expectation. On the other hand, if your teenager puts down their foot and says, hey, I'm not going, then I don't think you drag them by the shirt collar and put them in the car and drag them there and threaten them and so on. But I do think there should be, again, a consequence. Whenever we have a lack of cooperation in a family, it could be around church or any other topic, when there's a lack of cooperation, there needs to be some natural or logical consequences for that in the family.
Now, what about the family? How much of it, Dr. Randy, is for mom and dad, mom or dad, depending on your situation, to show that going to church and being involved in that as a family is something that's important to us? It's not drudgery. If they don't embrace it as something that is valuable to do and that they really are looking forward to doing, then doesn't that translate to the kids saying, well, we're just doing this to check off the checkbox to say we did it? If mom and dad really are embracing their faith and this is important, won't that also help make this kind of an unnecessary action to have to force them into it, and the kids buy into that church is valuable and it's great and I'm learning something here and it's important for my faith?
If they don't see the reality of your faith in your marriage or in your own personal life, if you're a single parent, they don't see it in your home and your discipline, then to them it's being phony. And I'll tell you what, these young people growing up today, I mean, every generation this has been true, but young people today aren't buying it. You know, if it's not real to you, then why they're thinking, why should it be real to me? So, you know, it's a decision of a balancing with your kids, but I think setting expectations and living it yourself is really important to do. So thank you, Steve. Appreciate it.
Sure thing.
All right, let me go to Crystal on the line today. Welcome. Hello. Crystal. How are you?
Good, thank you.
Good. What's your question for me?
Okay, we come from a blended family. My son is 11, my daughter's 12, and then I recently got married about 6 months ago, and we have a new baby as well. And my son and daughter, just they're always fighting and just at each other, just talking really mean to each other. And I'm not sure, I've done different things to try to help. Like my son likes to tease my daughter, and so I'll tell him, okay, you know, do push-ups if you're going to tease your sister. But I just don't know where else to go because they're always kind of at it with each other.
Yeah, it's sibling rivalry, isn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, that's what it
and
is.
My husband tries to step in and tries to talk to them, but then I don't want them to feel like he's the only one disciplining. Like, I want to be able to lead my kids, but I'm not sure if it's because they're trying to get more attention or I'm not sure quite where it's coming from.
Well, just a couple of things. One is blended families have some unique dynamics, as you know, and we have over the years consistently recommended that the primary parent take the lead in disciplining and setting the tone, and that the new dad or new mom coming into the home take a supportive role in allowing the parent to set the tone. And trying to be as consistent now that you have a baby in the home as well. One of my professors made the statement, and I know Kevin Lehman has made the statement as well, that sibling rivalry is an act of cooperation, which it really is when you think about it. Kids know how to pick at each other, often to get your attention, often to get the parents involved, even though that's unconscious in their mind. And then you get into this cycle of getting them to do push-ups and doing this and that and the other thing. And I think it's okay with 11- and 12-year-old at some point to sit down with them and say, you know, I love you guys, but I'm getting really tired of you guys picking at each other. And when you continue to do this, you have a standard response. You can either send them to their individual rooms and say, hey, when you guys are done with your emotional baggage and whatever it is, you can come back out and join the rest of the crew here. Or if they can go into the same room together without injuring each other, to say, listen, if you guys can't work this out here and with all of us having to listen, would you please go in the room? There will be no hitting or spitting or biting or kicking, and we expect you to just talk it out. You're 11 and 12. We're happy to help you think it through if you need to, but listen, we're getting tired of this. You guys are capable of working it out. When you're done, you can come back out. But I'll tell you what, I think what happens with parents so often is we try a lot of different things, but we got to get on one plan and stick with it. One parenting plan, holding our kids accountable, being very clear, being very intentional in the process. Success at life is the result of making right decisions about the right things over the decades of your life. Making the right decisions about your faith, about your family, about your finances, about your health, over an extended period of time. Life is a series of small decisions that add up over an extended period of time. Many of us spend more time planning a vacation than we do planning our lives. Boy, is that true. You know, that's an excerpt from the teaching on the seasons or the decades of life. It's a two-parter, October and November, as we go through all of the decades of life and teach some principles. I think it'll be encouraging for you. So members, watch for that coming in the mail to you. If you're not a member, you can always join us, and we appreciate it because your monthly support makes a difference at theintentionallife.com. But Dawn is here reminding us that during this month of October, we've created a very special, practical resource for you all that we hope will encourage you to get involved to help us here.
Yeah, it's not too early to be thinking about 2015 and goals and just being able to count your days as we count down the year 2014. And we've created our Living Water wall calendar for 2015. It's brand new. It's exclusively from the Intentional Living Center. And we'd love to send it to you today with our thanks for your gift of support. You can start using it right away. It's a 16-month calendar. Put it up on the wall. Keep track of all your stuff between now and then.
Yeah.
And we'd love to send it to you. Let us know that you'd like to receive it with your gift of any amount today when you go online to theintentionallife.com. Again, theintentionallife.com, or you can call us at 888-888-1717. Press number 4, but make sure to let us know to send you one of those calendars.
All right. Again, join us as you share a gift. As Dawn mentioned, we'll get this beautiful calendar to you to say thank you for your support when you ask for it. At theintentionallife.com. Thank you, Dawn.
Thank you.
Appreciate it. Talking parenting today, in particular, about the power of being a disciplined parent. Remember, it requires a disciplined parent to discipline children. And I would make available to you through our resource center our most requested relationship resource, which is Raising Responsible Adults, What Every Intentional Parent Needs to Know. It's the book and study guide that goes along with it. And so you can get that today through our resource bookstore. Also, just a final reminder here again today that the Love Your Marriage date night for Tucson this Saturday, Christ Community Church, you can get your tickets right now at theintentionallife.com. Love to see you. We're going to have a great time, so don't miss out. Great date night for couples from across the state of Arizona. Again, Tucson this Saturday. Go to theintentionallife.com.